Throughout history, remarkable men and women have left behind ideas capable of changing the course of a life. In each episode, we'll explore one section of a timeless book, uncovering the enduring wisdom, practical lessons, and powerful stories that continue to shape thoughtful lives today. These are more than book summaries. They are an invitation to join great dialogue that has connected generations of readers, leaders, and lifelong learners. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Dialogue on Dialogue. Welcome back. In this series, we're walking alongside good friend of the pod, Ben Franklin, through his autobiography to discover what his remarkable life can still teach us about learning, character, success, and becoming just a little bit better every single day. This is Benjamin Franklin, part 17. Stand for principles, not for personalities. What do you do when someone in power flatters you and then immediately asks you to compromise your principles? Benjamin Franklin faced exactly that situation. The new governor of Pennsylvania, welcomed him warmly, praised his wisdom, and spoke glowingly of his reputation. Then he asked Franklin for a little favor. Use your influence to convince the assembly to support the governor's agenda. Franklin's answer revealed one of his defining principles of his life. When a new governor arrived in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, Franklin paid him the customary visit. The governor greeted him warmly. He praised Franklin's reputation and explained that he had been told Franklin was one of the colony's most respected and influential leaders. The conversation was pleasant until the governor revealed his real purpose. He hoped Franklin would use his influence within the assembly to persuade its members to support the governor's policy. Franklin declined, but respectfully. He explained that he served as a representative of the people. His responsibility was not to advance the governor's wishes or oppose them automatically. His responsibility was to represent the interest of the assembly and the citizens who had entrusted him with that role. It was a moment of quiet integrity. Franklin wasn't rude. He wasn't confrontational. He simply refused to confuse friendship with public duty. So despite this disagreement, the two men continued to work together professionally. Eventually, ongoing disputes between Pennsylvania's assembly and the governor became significant enough that both sides agreed to send representatives to England. Franklin was chosen to represent the assembly and their interest, and his journey across the Atlantic began with an unexpected lesson in patience. A prominent British official repeatedly delayed the start of the voyage. What Franklin expected would be a brief postponement stretched into weeks and eventually months. Everything waited because one powerful individual couldn't complete his own work on time. Franklin couldn't help observing how one person's inefficiencies imposed enormous costs on everyone else. Passengers waited. Merchants waited. Military plans were delayed. Ship owners lost money. Poor leadership, Franklin realized, affects far more people than the leaders alone. Once the voyage finally began, Franklin did what he always did. He started learning. He carefully studied ship design, sail performance, and navigation. Many sailors confidently explained why certain ships just happened to sail faster than others. Franklin remained skeptical. Rather than accepting their opinions, he argued that these theories that they had about why one ship was faster than the other should be tested systematically. Only careful experiments could separate fact from speculation. Even while crossing the Atlantic, Franklin's scientific mind never rested. Near the end of the voyage, the ship narrowly avoided disaster thanks to a lighthouse guiding them safely to shore. Franklin immediately recognized its practical value. He began thinking about how similar lighthouses could improve safety back in the American colonies. Again and again, Franklin turned observation into public improvement. When discussions finally began in London, Franklin encountered something unexpected. One British official explained that when a royal governor acted, his decision effectively carried the authority of the crown itself. Franklin was surprised. He had always believed that colonial charters granted assemblies the right to create laws subject only to royal approval afterward. The two sides were simply weren't simply disagreeing about taxes. They were operating from entirely different understandings of the authority of the crown. Franklin carefully prepared a list of Pennsylvania's grievances. Unfortunately, many of the government's legal representatives dismissed the document on technical grounds. They criticized its lack of formality and even objected to Franklin not properly using the official full noble titles of the members. It's a frustrating reminder that procedure sometimes overwhelms substance. But meanwhile, back in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, the assembly passed a tax law requiring even the governor's largest estates to contribute to their fair share of the taxes. Franklin personally assured British officials that independent assessors would evaluate the property fairly. When the assessments were completed, they confirmed exactly what Franklin had promised. The valuations were equitable. Facts once again proved stronger than assumptions. So here's some lessons I gathered from this chapter. Lesson number one, be loyal to principles, not people. Franklin respected the governor. He enjoyed working with him, but he never confused friendship with responsibility. Character means remaining faithful to your principles, even when compromise would make life easier. Lesson number two, one leader's habits affect everyone. Franklin's frustration with a delayed voyage highlights an important leadership truth. When leaders procrastinate, everyone downstream pays the price, whether you're leading a family, a business, or a volunteer organization. Your habits ripple outward. Responsibility is never isolated. Lesson number three. Test ideas instead of repeating opinions. Even aboard a crowded sailing ship, Franklin couldn't resist asking questions. Rather than accepting conventional wisdom about shipbuilding or ship speed, he wanted experiments. It's a reminder that progress rarely comes from repeating what everyone else already believes. It comes from testing those beliefs and testing them again. Lesson number four, facts build trust. When Franklin guaranteed that the fairness of the Pennsylvania tax assessment, he put his own reputation behind the process. When the results confirmed his assurances, his credibility grew even stronger. Trust is built when our words and reality consistently match. This chapter feels like another turning point in Franklin's life. He left Pennsylvania believing that disagreements with Britain could be solved through reason, fairness, and honest discussion. What he found in London was a bit more complicated. Good intentions weren't always enough. Different people were operating from fundamentally different assumptions about authority, government, and representation. Franklin didn't become bitter. He became wiser. He continued gathering facts. He continued making careful arguments. He continued looking for practical solutions. But he also began to realize that some disagreements run deeper than personalities. They arise from competing ideas about the world and how it should work. And understandings of those differences would prepare him for an even greater challenge still ahead. So remember, the lessons are older than we are and just as relevant today.